Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we just ask, Lord, that our hearts and minds be in tune to you and your word this morning. Lord, forgive us of any sin that we've committed even on our way to church, Lord. Help us to be in the right heart and mind right now. Just pray that you would just bless this time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 5:18. I'm talking about. I was been listening to, of course, the radio. I listen to it a lot. There's a spot that they're starting to run. And it's two people at lunch. And one person says to the other, "Oh, you're eating a sandwich for lunch." Yeah, I have a sandwich. What kind of bread is that? Oh, it's 13 grains. 13 grains. Wow. Do you think it's 13 grains every time you bite it? Or maybe 7 when you bite one time and maybe 6 the next? I mean, you know, typically, I mean, you would think maybe that would be it. And isn't it because... what do you think? He goes, hold on, I'm counting. He's counting the grains. And you're thinking, okay, where's this going? Well, then the narrator comes in and goes, are your lunch breaks boring? They don't have to be. Because see, there's new apps that you have that you can put on your phone that you can watch the latest movies, the latest videos, and never be bored again. I think games were involved in that too. What does that tell us as a society? We can't talk anymore. Bores us to tears. When you're in a conversation and it doesn't tantalize you or keep you engaged, your mind starts wandering. You look at the person with a blank stare. Communication has died. Do you know that you were made to fellowship with one another? Do you know that you were made to fellowship with God? Do you know that God gave you a mouth for a reason? To speak. Ears to listen. And so we come to this place called prayer. And what it is in its essence is communication. Communication or talking with God. Now, last week we talked about it, and basically a model, or if you will, of prayer. And if you remember, A was adoration, praise, and glory to God. C was confession, that you confess your sins and confess your failings. T was for thanksgiving, thanking God for His grace, His mercy, and thanking Him for answered prayer, thanking Him. And then I realized I didn't tell you what S was. I kind of went right into it, but it's supplication. It's asking God for things now, for others and for yourself. It's pretty simple, really. And we talk pretty much in depth in that, so we won't cover that. But again, I ask all of us, and me too included, how was your prayers this week? Did you pray more? Did you talk more to God? Did you make the time? Now, if we're honest, there's 7, and I came up with 7 T's, if you will. 7 T's why we don't pray. 7 T's. And the first one is time. Don't have the time. Seems like I wake up in the morning, I gotta hurry and rush, get ready, go to work, go to school, get the kids ready, whatever it is, I'm rushing. So then I get to where I'm supposed to be. I have to do what I need to do. And before I know it, the day is done at work, so I'm home. And now I'm getting the kids' food. I'm eating food. I'm relaxing. I'm tired. My mind's not engaged. It's hard to think. So then, before I know it, it's time for bed. So then I go to bed. There's just no time to pray. The second thing that we come up with, tired. I'm just too tired. After all that, you're saying, I'm tired just listening to you. I'm too tired. You wake up in the morning, you go, I'm going to pray in the morning. So what do? You sit there and you nod off, and you go, well, this is fruitless, I'll try tonight. So then you come home, and right before you go to bed, what do? You get on your knees, and you're putting your hands on the bed and everything, and what are you doing? You fall asleep and you realize you've fallen asleep because all of a sudden your leg starts aching. And you go, oh, I fell asleep. Well, just too tired. I just got to go to bed. God understands. Too tired. Another reason why, it's a tranquil place. We have no quiet place for it. Kids are too noisy. My neighbors are too noisy. There's just too much noise. Fourth reason, taxing. It takes a lot of effort to pray. It's the hardest thing you're going to do spiritually next to reading the word and coming to listen to me speak. Those are just hard things to do. They're taxing. Praying is taxing. It takes too much effort. I'm too tired. I can't engage. I can't think. It's too hard. It's just so easier to just click on and click out. The fifth thing I came up with, I'm thrown off. I get down, I'm ready to pray, I'm quiet, and then all of a sudden the kid goes, Dad, Mom! Or the phone rings. Or there's a knock at the door. Thrown off. Where was I? Then you give up. Number six, thoughts. Did you ever get down, you start praying, you're going, okay, this is going okay, then all of a sudden you start riding those waves of thought, almost like the internet. Because all of a sudden you'll say, and Lord, I pray that you be with Brian and help him build his fence. And then you go, oh, fence, that reminds me. I've got to find a better defense for the truck because it seemed like somebody broke into that. But, oh, that reminds me too, is the carburetor is not running as well as it should. And I'm sure wives, you all think this all the time, right? Or are you thinking, oh, darn, I forgot the bottle at so-and-so's house. I'll have to pick that up. Oh, that reminds me. I'm supposed to bring some pie over to Julie's house. Or I should say Luke's house. Bring some pie over to Luke's house. You know, again, the mind just kind of just goes all over the place, doesn't it? It's thoughts. It's amazing where your mind can go when you say, I'm going to settle down, quiet down, and pray. And the mind just works overload. How about trivial? That's too trivial. What do you mean? Prayer trivial? No, you wouldn't admit that. But a lot of us start thinking, does this really work? Seems like I'm just reciting the same things over and over again. Does God really want to hear this? It seems pointless. Nothing seems to happen. So why pray? Well, in Ephesians again, we're in chapter 6. We're just going to go over this quick verse. And we're going to tackle some of these things. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it says again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always again. Pray without ceasing. Pray. 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 But if you notice towards the end again, I want to nail these down, if you will. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That word watchful comes from two words. The first word, you'd be surprised. It means sleep. That's what it means. The second is a negative particle. So, it means don't sleep. So, it's telling us to pray and don't sleep. Be awake. Now, it's the same root word that Paul used in Romans when he says, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness, not in lust and strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Again, we're told to keep awake. A great proverb is, How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Remember I shared with you something that we all need to take note of, and that's the enemy. That's who we're wrestling against. That's who we're fighting against. And the thing that he desires more than anything else is that you just sleep. Don't worry about these things. Things are going well for you. Think about yourself. You need to sleep. You're tired. Ease your mind. Don't worry about these things now. Go to sleep. It's what God made, right? Was sleep. So sleep. But see, that thought, really, that process of that thought continues throughout the day. Don't worry about it. Sit quickly. He'll get it. He doesn't want us to pray. But just as the proverb says, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, being slothful, what happens? The enemy does come, doesn't he? Constantly. Whether it's battles for our kids, battles for our minds, battle in temptation, battles, battles, battles. You can't get away from them. So, to sleep, again, what Paul is saying in Ephesians is, hey, it's time to be awake. Wake up. You're in a fight. You're in a battle. I can't imagine this because I'm weird about this, and I've shared this with you many a times. I like to watch war movies, but I want nothing to do with being in a war. I was so thankful that I had nothing to do with any wars. I thank God for those who fought in the wars. And I'm amazed at their courage. And I'm amazed at the things that are thrown at them. And I would always wonder and watch these guys like, how could you sleep? How could you actually sleep? Could you really sleep? And from the accounts that I've heard and read, no, they didn't sleep much. Most of them, now there's some people, don't get me wrong, that you can just go like this, sleep, and the guy's out for 12 hours. Hey, guy, we got to get going here. There's some people like that. For most of them, they'd say, oh, we'd doze off for 2-3 hours. Why? Because your life is always in jeopardy. You're awake, whether you're in the foxhole or whether you're out in the field. You're always awake. Somebody's awake keeping guard. The enemy's out there. He wants to attack. And so many of us forget about this thing because we live in such a peaceful world. I'm not worried about an animal like a lion or a tiger busting through my shack and killing me. No! In Vietnam, that's why they used to build their houses on stilts to keep away from the tigers. On one account, I read that they were sleeping and this tiger actually woke them up because he was running and jumping, trying to get through their floor. That would wake me up. Wouldn't you? If a lion knocked on my door, I wouldn't answer. I'd say, go next door. No meat here. But you get the point. It's constant. This isn't to make us fearful because we know that who's watching truly over us. But it's to help us to wake up. Myself included, gang. Wake up. It's time to be awake. But not just be awake. If you notice, it's watch and pray. He's saying all this in praying. Don't cease praying. Pray always. Watch and pray. We've heard these two words before. A few times. How about this? I'm on the wrong one, all right. Jesus came back after he went off to pray with his Father that night in Gethsemane. He came to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said to them, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Because your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. It's the part of me, listen, it's the part of me, listen, it's the only part of me, do you hear that? It's not going to heaven. This is not going to heaven. Not in this form. It's a terrestrial body. I get a celestial body. Completely different. Completely. It doesn't go with me. So why do we pamper it? Why do we take so much care? No, don't get me wrong. Take care of the tent. That's right. But really, if we're honest with each other, that's what really motivates us more than anything is our flesh. Jesus is telling us here is be ready. The tempter's coming. Whether you want it or not. Whether you like it or not. He's coming. Another passage, Jesus says, take heed and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeepers to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly, he find you sleeping. And I say to all, watch. Who's he speaking of? Himself. He's telling us, you don't know when I'm coming back. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you awake? Are you acknowledging that there's an enemy desiring to take you and your loved ones down? He's telling to all of us, keep awake. So we see this watch and pray to be ready. Why? Because of temptation, because of protection, because of his return. But it's interesting because Samuel said something that we all should take note of. Samuel said that, moreover for me, far be it, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. See, prayerlessness, if you will, is a sin. And yeah, you say, a sin? What do you mean? It's because you're missing the mark. You're missing the point. We're missing it. We have given access. We've learned this. It's what the New Testament does for us. It just says, welcome home. For all those who have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now children of the living God, which gives you access to your Father. And Jesus teaches us to pray to say, our Father who art in heaven. And like any father, that you can run up and jump into his arms. There's a story that goes back to John F. Kennedy, big meeting, and one of his kids comes running in and jumps on his lap. The Secretary of State wouldn't have done that. The head of the House of Representatives wouldn't have done that. His bodyguard wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have done that. Ah, but his son, full access. And it's the same with us. We have that full access. Now, and knowing that then, that it can be sin, that it's silly not to do it, then why don't we? Because I'm too tired. I don't have the time. I can't find a quiet place, tranquil place. It's too taxing. Thrown off all the time, constantly. Somebody comes in and interrupts. My thoughts, I can't control them. They're all over the place. I can smell something as I'm praying, and all of a sudden all I think about is food. It's trivial. Does it really? Yes, it does. See, God looks for those that will come to Him and pray. But not just to pray, but to pray believing. Come willing, not because they have to, but they get to. It's like my door is wide open, and I leave it open, because I'm lonely. Not that He is, but get the picture. I leave my house door open, begging for people to come by. I put out my chair at the stoop and I wait. And on my street, I get to wave a lot. Why? Because there are a lot of passerbys. Hello, hello, how you doing? Goodbye. Why? Because I want someone to stop. True story. There was a gentleman that used to be on our corner in a wheelchair, old man. And he would sit there every day and he'd wave at people driving by. Because he was lonely. Till one day, he wasn't out there. Come to find out, it's because he died. How many older people are lonely, just begging for people to come in and just acknowledge them? Now, take it to the Lord. The Lord's left the door wide open. Not that He needs you, not that He's lonely, but He's given you access. Come on in. But wait a minute, there's an enemy and he'll continually tell you, you have no time, you're too tired, there's no quiet place, he's not going to listen to you, this is trivial. Your thoughts are all over the place. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. And he'll say that into your ears all the way into the throne room. And even when you enter into his presence, those same things are still going to come. And the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask not believing. So let's wipe that away. Let's take it away. Because he says to all who will come, I will listen. Ask. Seek. Knock. But he says, keep on asking. He keeps on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Because again, Paul is helping us here to understand it. He says, watchful to this end with all perseverance. That word perseverance, it means to adhere to one, to be devoted or constant, to be steadfastly attentive to give unremitting care, to continue all the time, to preserve and not to faint, to show one's courageous for, to be constant ready for one. It's constant. It's not giving up. It's believing. It's hoping. It's trusting. It's asking. And you keep asking. Ask and it will be given to you. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, you will find. Keep knocking and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Will. Jesus said that. So why do you think the Lord wants us to do this? Why is it that He's, if you will, commanding us to do it? Do it! Why is it too that He doesn't answer right away? It's because He's drawing out of us character and faith. Do you believe I can do this? Do you? Then stop engaging your own counseling and come. Even when you don't understand, come. Whatever problem it is, it's not too small, come. Whatever you need to talk about, come. Whatever. Pray without ceasing. Pray as you're breathing. Pray constantly. God wants to be that involved in our lives. So let's get through this stuff. Time. If you're going to try and wait to find time, you're never going to find it. Trust me, I've looked. Time is an elusive butterfly. No, you got to make time. Because see, there's only 24 hours a day. You make time. We all got to. As I'm reading this, I'm too being convicted of something that I've committed to the Lord and I still haven't really done. What about you? To make time. Make time to pray. The second thing is that we talked about is being too tired. Well, it's because, why? You had a busy day. Now, there's a few things we can do here. And I have found these very helpful. When I'm tired, One thing I do not do is stay in bed. I've learned this from experience. I'm not telling you this because, you know, I'm appalled that anybody does that. No, I've tried it many times, especially in the wintertime. Oh, Lord, it's just so cold. It's so cozy right here. Cannot do it. Too hard. The other thing is right before bed when you're kneeling and you're putting yourself, I wasn't just sharing that with you just out of the blue. No, I've done that many a times. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen asleep. Doesn't work. But what I have found to work is number one, find the best time that you're alert. But if you're one that likes to pray early in the morning, then understand something. Stand up and walk. That's what I have found works very well for me, is to walk. To walk and pray. Awful hard to fall asleep while you're walking. Gets the blood going. Gets the oxygen going. Walk. A tranquil place. Aha! You're thinking, I have kids, so did I. These are two things I did. There's other ways to do this. One is, I had instrumental music going on. And I could hear, it was just kind of like in the background. I heard, but it was so faint, all of a sudden I couldn't hear it. Or I would turn on a fan for white noise. I've also done this. I'm sitting there in my study and all this noise going on. I look over and I see two of my construction earplugs. The little foam things. I go, this will work. Nothing. Quiet. There's a way to do it. If you have kids, there's a way to do it. You either get up earlier. You don't, can't do that. There's other ways. If you have a Christian spouse, then switch off. Okay, look, you take them for 15 minutes. 15 minutes! You take them for 15 minutes? Now, ladies, that doesn't mean, oh, I got 15 minutes. Well, I'm gonna do all this other stuff, and then I'll pray. No, you're not. That doesn't work. Just go, okay, you take them for 15 minutes, I'll take them for 15 minutes. So you can pray. But see, again, it's making the time to find the quiet place and making the time. It's up to all of us. God will help us if we ask Him. Have you ever asked God, God, help me make this work? It's amazing how we don't ask God for even simple things like that. Is it taxing? You bet it is. But remember how we started off with Acts? I have found this to be true. When I start praising God, it gets me quicker into that spiritual mode. Because I'm thinking about Him. Not the things I have to do. Not the things I'm going to pray for. No, I think about Him. What about the things that throw you off? Well, here's some things to do. Turn off the phone. If the house is too noisy, go for a drive. That's a good place for a quiet place too. Turn off the radio. Make it so that, again, there is no distractions. Of course, if the car's coming right at you, that's a distraction. Veer off. Just a little helpful hint there, okay? Don't run the red light. What about your thoughts? Now this is a hard one too. Again, what I have found to help me out a lot is pray out loud. Pray out loud. I have found that to be the one of the biggest blessings in praying. Just pray out loud. Just so you can hear too what you're saying. And you can just think about it. And you have to think better when you're speaking and you're saying, but you don't. When you speak, you don't think much. I know, but I'm trying to, trust me. But you speak out loud. And even if it's just a whisper, pray out loud. The last thing that we wanted to touch on was trivial. Really? Is it? When He commands us to do it? When He wants us to do it? When He asks us to do it? How many things could be done in your life today, if you would take the time to pray? How many things does God want to reveal to us, His purpose and His plan for us? Not just in a day-to-day fashion, but even in the future. But we have never taken the time to ask and then listen. It's a conversation. If you find it hard to pray without ceasing, let me help you here. Discover Him, who He is. Jesus Christ is the best friend you'll ever have. Start talking to him with respect, but as a friend. Lord, I'm struggling in this area, and be honest with him. Lord, I need help with this person because the person really drives me nuts and I'm ready to strangle him. Now you're saying, oh, can you say that? What I don't agree with is somebody yelling at God. Don't do that. People say, wait, there's a controversy about, oh, I think God should know how I'm feeling about him, right? No, no, because see, we've lost something here. Please do not misunderstand me. I understand being upset with God. I do. But if we don't hold a reverence to him, a holiness, then you miss the door. Remember, A, he's always good. And if I'm yelling at him, I'm telling him you're not good. And that's never so. Now, it doesn't mean I can't tell him that I'm angry and I'm upset and I don't understand what you're doing and this is unfair. And I can say all those things, but if I'm yelling and screaming at him, now, you might be saying, but I know somebody that's done that, and hey, God's grace. But I'm just speaking to you from a pastor's heart. Come with respect to God always, even when you're upset. Talk to him. Talk to him the way you don't like the way your nose looks, your ears, because he's the one that created you. And all things are for a purpose. Everything. He knows everything about us. And he desires for us to come and just chatter at him. Now, not many of us like chatterboxes. Oh, we can put up with them for a while. But after a while, we're like, especially if it's our kid or a kid, you pick them up, you turn them around, is there an off switch here somewhere? Right? Looking all over the place. There comes a time that talking just, you know, it does. It gets annoying. It's too much. I used to work with a guy, none of you know him, and only one of you have met him, actually two, but he was a non-stop talker. And the problem was, he was intelligent. So it wasn't like he was just chattering at just saying blah, 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 blue, blah, 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 black, blah, 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 right? No. I mean, he would be driving, just like I'm talking about praying, right? We'd drive by and there'd be, you know, some type of rock formation or something. And then he would go off and tell me exactly how that rock formation got there. The guy was very knowledgeable. Then we'd go driving into a town and then he'd start explaining to me why this town got its name. But it was nonstop. I mean, he'd be going like, you know, be driving like, oh, there's that rock. Let me tell you how the rock got here. Then we go driving through the town. As he's finishing up on the rock, he goes, oh, we're in this town. Yeah, I know that person over there. You know how this town got this name? And we would go into a house to do work, and that person, and it was amazing to me, he had this talent, but it was also a game to him. He wanted to find some connection with that person, and he always did. Oh, I know Billy Bob! You know Billy Bob? Sure, I went to school with him, and then blah, 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 and he goes off talking. It was amazing. And I did like the guy, but I have to tell you something. There was many times he wanted to come home with me. Thankfully, I was driving. I would say, I think it's time for you to go home. So I would drop him off to his house, and then I would come home, sit in the driveway and just go. Then I'd go inside and my wife, she's a chatterbox, and then all of a sudden she'd start talking. And I'd be going, meh, meh, meh. No, she knows I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm trying to say here is a simple fact. That's not God. You can talk his ear off. See what's amazing is? See, when Aaron's talking her heart off, so is Mark, so is Caleb, so is Moo, so is everybody in this room all at once. Every Christian on this earth is talking to him. And you know what the amazing thing is? Hey, if you've not brought God up to where he's supposed to be, let me help you here. He hears every single word you're saying. He knows every thought you're thinking. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. This is the God we worship, and it's a God that's just so amazing. So wonderful.
who adores you. Amazing.
Now do you know why you come to Him with respect? We need to learn to adore Him. And part of that comes with talking. Listening. Make sure you have time to stop and listen for a response. Go to a quiet place. Talk out loud. Walk if you have to. Go for a drive. Make the time. Don't stop praying. Jesus gave a parable, and it's in 18 of Luke. I'll close with this. It was a lady that came to a judge, an unrighteous judge. And Jesus said, you ought to pray, and if you will, to keep praying. Because see, this woman would come to this unrighteous judge and continually complain about what was being a grievance, but also an error of somebody else to her. And she constantly said it and wanted justice. And since she was a woman and whatever other reasons, he just kept, next case. But the thing was, she kept coming every single day, the same woman, same complaint, same problem. Finally, the unrighteous judge just said, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to give her what she wants so she stops coming. Jesus says, how much more do you think your heavenly Father wants to hear you? Don't give up. He hears. Take it from a fool who knows. He hears. Keep praying. And make the time. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these truths. But Lord, you know me. You know my intentions many times are good, but still I fail at them. I pray, Lord, for myself and for everybody that's here this morning, and each of us, Lord, would pray to ask that you would help us with these truths, but also to make time to ask about these truths. To do those things that we need to so that we can be in a quiet place, that our minds would be in tune to you and hearts, that our thoughts would be towards you, not a bunch of things that have to be done or need our attention. Lord, that we would understand that what's really taxing, and hopefully, Lord, we can talk about this in the future, is it is about being in the Spirit. And Lord, I know that's the desire of many that are here this morning. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of prayer. And Lord, help us this week to make time to pray and not to faint. Thank you for this truth of your love and your desire to communicate with us, these little peons. But Lord, you have created us and you have loved us. And you have died for us. And you call us your children. Amazing. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.